To share the word of God with you, and let's dig in and see what happens. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word, your precious word. Pray that you would unfold it today for us, Father. I do pray that you would calm my spirit, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, anything that I say that's not right, please let it fall on deaf ears, but anything that comes out right, I pray that it would help your people. And may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be in Exodus 25 today. I think I looked that up this week, and if you're in your pew Bible, I think it's on page 61. Exodus 25, starting in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel that they take for me a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contribution for me. And this is the contribution that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod, and for the breast piece. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell in their midst, exactly as I showed you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and of all of its furniture, so you shall make it." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. God wants to dwell with his people. God wanted to dwell with his people in this story that I'm about to tell, and God wants to dwell with you today. It's an incredible thing to think about, that God wants to dwell with us. The creator of the universe wants to dwell with us. And here in this story, we see God is he's about to give his people instructions on how to build this tabernacle. Now, he had been with his people. He had brought them out of Egypt, and they had been in the wilderness for a while now. And he had been with them, but now he was going to have them build this tabernacle. And he was going to come down in a special way and have fellowship, very intimate fellowship with his people. So God is going to come down to dwell, and that's what the word tabernacle means, is to, it's a dwelling. He wants to dwell with them. So God is going to come down and be with his people. Now, back in the Garden of Eden, if you'll remember, God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days, in 6 days, and then rested on the seventh. And he placed man in the Garden of Eden. And Eden was a place of perfect fellowship. God and Adam and Eve had perfect fellowship there. And they walked with him and they talked with him. And there was no hindrance at all to the fellowship that they had in Eden. And you know what happened, though. The devil came along and tempted Eve and Adam, and they sinned, and that broke the perfect fellowship that they had in the Garden of Eden. And so as a result of that, they had to do what? They had to go out. They had to go out of this perfect Garden of Eden. So God says, go out. But God didn't abandon his people. He still had a plan. And he was going to bring it back. He was going to bring back this perfect fellowship that he had in the beginning with his people in Eden. And he had a plan of redemption for his people. And he began working it out. And as he worked through the history of the people, he actually started showing this plan of redemption that he had for his people. He started showing the future through the working out of the history of his people. Now, you've all heard of the prophets, you know, and how God spoke to the prophets and he told them what to tell the people of Israel about what was coming in the future. But sometimes what we miss when we're reading our Bibles is that when you read the history of the people, that is also showing you what is coming in God's redemptive plan. So that's why it's so important when we read our scripture that you don't just read this story and then this story and this story. You've got to zoom in on this story and then you've got to zoom out and see how that story fits in with God's redemptive plan. And then you've got to go to this story and you read it, but don't forget to zoom out and see how it fits into God's redemptive plan, because the whole thing, every piece, is telling you something about God's redemptive plan. And this man right here is going to teach you how to do that. Rusty taught us for years how to do that, but don't forget, don't take it story by story, and forget to zoom out and see God's redemptive plan. So you see this starting right away. You know, God's redemptive plan for down the road. If you go right on just a little ways past the Garden of Eden, you see the ark, Noah's ark. You all know about Noah's ark. Well, that's a little picture of Eden right there. Mm-hmm. And then you come on over and you see this tabernacle is built. And that's a little picture of Eden. And then later on you see, you know, the temple. Solomon builds the temple. And that's another little picture of Eden right there. And then, you know, that gets destroyed and another temple comes. But you see these things building. You know, when you come back here and you see in Noah's Ark, this little picture of Eden, it's a place where God, instead of saying, go out, God says, come in. So you see, he invites Noah and his family into this place of peace and fellowship with him, where he is saved from the judgment that is going on around him in the world. And then you move on to this tabernacle, and this is a very special and holy place. It's another little Eden where God is showing his people, I want to be with you. And on this one, he actually comes down. When they finish this tabernacle, he comes down and inhabits the people. It's a little bit hard to explain even, but this was a place where heaven and earth were going to kind of overlap. Mm-hmm. Like God, in some ways, I know God is everywhere, but in some ways he's in his heavenly home, but he comes down in a special way to inhabit this tabernacle. And so these people are invited again. Instead of go out, they're invited to come in. And then you see it later, you know, when, you know, this was portable, and they set it up in the center of the camp. And they took it with them wherever they go, wherever they went, wherever they moved in the wilderness. It was portable. Later on, when they got settled in the Promised Land, Solomon built the temple. And the temple was set up pretty much exactly, I mean, it was much bigger and much more ornate. But it was the setup, which we're going to go over, was pretty much the same as the tabernacle was. So you had a time where you had this beautiful temple, and once again the people were invited, come in to fellowship with God. And then things got so horrible, the sin of the people and the sin of the kings was so bad that we had a kind of another going out. And God sent the children of Israel into exile. So it's kind of like you see another reflection of the go out there. You see, but later they came back and they built another temple. And it was come in again. So here we find ourselves at this tabernacle, and that's kind of what we're focusing on today. And you know, when God begins to describe how He wants this thing built, it's pretty tedious, I'll have to say. I mean, it's like there's a lot of purple thread, curtain rod, curtain clasp, you know, it goes on and on and on. And I'll tell you, it is a bit tedious. And you can see when you read through it, sometimes you just get, we get bogged down, you know. I mean, because everything's been going pretty good, you know, in the story, and there's lots of action, water coming out of rocks and defeating people and all that kind of stuff. And then you get to this, and it's kind of like, you just kind of feel like, you know, you get caught in the quicksand, you know, going through this section of Scripture. But and you can imagine, after reading this, that these were very detailed instructions. And you can imagine that these people that God empowered and gave the gifts to build all this stuff, you can imagine they still had to, come back and read this thing. Over and over. It wasn't like you read it through one time, go build it, and it's going to turn out right. You know. And I'm not going to harp on this for a long time, but I think there's something to be said there, because it's like, if you think that you can build a life, these people are trying to build a tabernacle. We're trying to build a life to glorify God. And if you feel like you can have minimal reading of the Bible and build a life that is glorifying to God, people, yeah, it's not going to turn out. I mean, they wanted this thing to turn out perfect. They wanted to honor God with it like we want to honor God with our lives. So God started with the Ark of the Covenant. He told Moses how He wanted the Ark of the Covenant to be built. And this Ark of the Covenant, this is the most precious object that has ever been made. Because this thing was going to be made to somehow, God was going to come down and be in this Ark of the Covenant. It was the most precious thing on the earth, and it was going to be placed in what's called the most holy place in the tabernacle. They had this most holy place, and that was where the very presence of God was going to come down and reside there and meet with His people. So the Ark of the Covenant, it was extremely powerful for good for God's people, and if they were in his light. And it was extremely powerful for destruction if it was mishandled, as the Philistines found out when they tried to steal it. And they basically were ruined, you know, with their time with it. So you have something that is like, it's extremely holy. And this is the thing. This is where God is going to come down. And it is going to be so holy that he had a veil placed in front of this most holy room where the Ark of the Covenant was going to be. And nobody could go in that room except the priest, the high priest, once a year. So that's the Ark of the Covenant. And then he gave instructions about other things in the temple. There was a table called the table, and it was called, on it was the bread of presence. The bread of presence was going to be on this table to the left. And so he gave detailed instructions on how to build that. And then over here we had the menorah. This was the thing that was supposed to be, it was the lamp, and it was supposed to be perpetually lit, giving light always, shining on that. And that this table had 12 loaves of bread, kind of symbolizing the 12 tribes of Israel. Here you have this light, this lamp that gives light and shines what's called the holy place. So you have the most holy place, and then you've got this place where the priests do their work, the holy place. And then right back here, you have what's called the altar of incense. And the priests were supposed to continually keep incense going. And you know, in the Bible, incense always kind of represents the prayers. Prayers going up to God as a sweet incense before Him. So you had those three things right here. And then, you know, you had the articles of the garments that the priests wore. So you had these guys that they were definitely imperfect men, but God had chosen them to be priests and to do service in this temple and to serve the people, to offer sacrifices for them. So these priests, there was nothing special about them in and of themselves. But they had a particularly beautiful clothing that was put on them. They were arrayed in stone. They had special robes, and they had ephod with very fine stones and gold and stuff in it. So they had this covering on them that allowed them to do the service of the people. And then if you step out, there's another veil even to the holy place, which priests were allowed in there. Then you get out into this section where it's called the court. And that was kind of where anybody could come in. Any of God. You just had to be one of God's people to be there. And people would bring their sacrifices to this place. And that right outside this veil, there was a place where, if the priests were going to go in and do their service, they had this a laver. It was full of water, like a bowl, decorative bowl of water. And they had to do this ceremonial washing before they went in to do their service before the Lord. And then right in front of that was the altar, and that was where the sacrifices for the people were made. The burnt offerings for the sins of the people were made there, and then you had the court. So he got done with all these detailed instructions, and it was time to build the tabernacle. But right before they went to work, God commanded Moses, he said, I want you to take up a contribution from these people. And he put it in the hearts of the people to give. And it's a surprising thing. It's an amazing thing because, I mean, I can't go over all this, but I mean, in the time, you know, when Moses was up on Mount Sinai, you know, and he was getting all these long instructions, the law first and then the how to build the temple and all that. Well, in the people's opinion, he stayed up there too long, you know, and so by the time he got back down there, they had Aaron made a golden calf and said, this is your God. And they were bowing down to this false God, and you know, it was a horrible, horrible time, and they were doing all kinds of terrible things out of line, and you know, this is not part of my sermon, but you know, Moses interceded for them and begged on their behalf for God's forgiveness, and you know, so God, you know, as he always so lovingly does, it's incredible, but he, you know, he forgave them, and not only did he forgive them, he gave them a heart to bring their treasures to build this tabernacle. And these people, they had it in their heart in such a way to where it wasn't like, I mean, like they brought their treasures. They did. It was not like they were like, here's a sandal that hadn't used in a long time, you know. Maybe they could use that. You know, it wasn't that type of thing at all. They were thinking of like, what is my treasure? And every man, as he could, brought his treasure, because these people wanted to be in the middle of what God was doing. These people wanted to be on board with what God was doing. He had put that in their heart, that they wanted to be a part of his kingdom work. They didn't want to be on the sidelines. They wanted to be a part of God's work in his kingdom. We need to be thinking about that all the time. But they brought their treasures, and not only did they bring their treasure, but God had also worked in a way in a lot of them to where he gave them gifts so that they could do stuff. They could build stuff. You know, they had been in Egypt for 400 years. They didn't build up a lot of skills except like brick making, you know. But God gave them gifts. And they found out possibly some stuff that they had not done before. God gave them gifts to do it. We need to be looking in ourselves, what might God want to do with me in his kingdom? What might God want to do with me in this church? Be open to it. That's just a little sideline right there. But they went and built this tabernacle. And I found a video that was kind of a simulation of that somebody had built to spec and everything, and I thought I might show that to you right now. Now, as you watch this, Sean's going to cue it up in just a second, but I want you to pay attention to every part of this video, because I'm going to ask you to recall some things back in just a moment afterwards. So, See that most holy place? That was incredible. But you know, nobody got the common man, the common believer, whatever, did not get to go in there. It was only the high priest once a year. You see, like, God is building this plan of redemption through the years. But it's just never quite. It's like he's not. It's like you get to the tabernacle and the blood of bulls and lambs is just not sufficient to give you full access. I mean, the fullest access that you could possibly have, which is behind that curtain. But it's all building and pointing forward to that time when instead of God coming down and filling the most holy place in the tabernacle, he's going to come down in flesh. He's going to come down and dwell with you as a man. He's going to come out here, access like you've never had before. He's going to be talking with you. He's going to be walking with you. He's going to be telling you exactly what his Father says to that. So I've been telling you a little bit of history here, and now I don't want to tell you history. I just want to give you just a little bit of something to think about that will help you to think about the tabernacle being a sign of the coming Messiah. So if you would, if you think back in that video, I want you to just pretend, you don't have to, you can close your eyes if you want to, you don't have to, but I just want you to kind of imagine that point right there where it was, you were fixing to go into the most holy place, and that curtain was up there. And it was still up there. You see that? That curtain was there. And it hadn't opened yet. Now I just want to pretend like, just think in your mind that you're just staring there at that curtain. And you just look at that curtain. In your mind's eye, just stare at it. And then I'd like for you to pretend that you've been staring at that curtain for 400 years. You're tired. And then you hear these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. And I just want you to imagine in your mind that Jesus walked out behind that curtain. Now, you know that's not the way Jesus came into the world. He was born in a manger in Bethlehem. But I'm just trying to help you see that Jesus had perfect fellowship with his Father in heaven. And God came down and met with the people in this tabernacle. And he was with his Son and the Holy Spirit. These people just did not have quiet access. But then when Jesus came down, he came down in the flesh. So just imagine him walking out there. And you see your Savior. And then imagine him walking over to this table of the bread of presence. And you hear that verse, "I am the bread. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger." And then imagine him walking over to the light, that menorah, and you hear, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness." And then imagine that he turns back. There's the altar of incense. And in your mind, you think about the whole chapter of John 17 where Jesus prays for you, He prays for his disciples, but he prays for you. Every one of you. You think about that at the altar of incense. And then as he makes his way toward the veil that covers the holy place, you see the priest. And there's the priest. And he is decked out in his beautiful robes and the ephod. And is the priest happy to see him? I am sorry to say, people, the priests were not happy to meet their Messiah. Instead of welcoming him, they felt threatened by him. They did not like him. They seized him. I just want you to picture this in your mind. That priest seizes Jesus and takes him out of that most holy place and knocks over the basin of water on the way to the altar. And they take him to the altar. And there, they offer him up to be crucified. But for us, in my illustration, instead of there being an altar there, it's the cross. And Jesus was placed up on that cross. And he freely sacrificed himself. He was the sacrifice. He was the perfect Lamb of God. And he sacrificed himself on that cross for you and me. He poured out his blood. Think about that precious blood. Just think about that blood coming down. And if you had a list of your sin, all your sins, and just that blood covering all your sins. He died for you. And that wrath of God that you deserved and I deserved, it was all poured out on Jesus. And he took it all. And him being on that cross was enough. It was enough to pay for all of your sins. Your sins are washed away because of that beautiful sacrifice of Jesus on that cross. And when you think about that, that was up here on my timeline. And this temple up here was built. But when Jesus died on that cross for your sins, there was an earthquake. And the temple veil leading to the most holy place, that place where you could never go before. It was like you could come so far, but you never could go into the perfect presence of God. That veil was torn from top to bottom. Now, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you got full access to God. Full access to God to have intimacy like you never could have had before. And that veil was torn. So, give me a shot of that again, John. Now there's the tabernacle. God's present with his people. God wanted fellowship with his people. God wanted intimacy with his people. I'm going to ask you today, where are you? Where are you in this picture? Are you out here? Are you outside the tabernacle? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Or are you out here in your sins? Maybe you're back at the golden calf. Maybe you've got some sin in your life that you're bowing down to. Some idol in your life that you're bowing down to. And you have not bowed down to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've not come in. Now this right here, that's the only way in. Jesus said, "I am the door. No man comes to the Father except by me." So if you're out here, my friend, give your life to the Lord. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Today is the day. You do not want another day to go by until you get in the fellowship of God. All paths, I'm telling you, all paths do not lead to God. All religions do not lead to God. It's through Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you can have fellowship with the Father. What about are you right here? What about if you're right here? You go to church. I hang out with God's people. I do. I know Jesus died for my sins. I'm in here. I mill around with Christian people. But your intimacy is not there. You're just hanging out with God's people. Let's say maybe you move into the holy place. Have you, and you come to that bread of presence. Are you feeding? Are you feeding on the bread of life? Are you reading your word? Are you reading the word? Do you really think that you can sustain your Christian life without feeding on God's word? Are you feeding on God's word? Are you walking in the light of Christ? Are you still stumbling around in the dark, even though you're a Christian? Or are you walking every step in the light of Jesus Christ? Walk in the light, my friends. Do you pray? How is your prayer life? Are you offering up that sweet incense to God of your prayers? And finally, have you come in to that most intimate place of fellowship with God? That most holy place? Because it's open now. It's open. God has come down, and He has invited you in, not just to the tabernacle. We talked about go out. We talked about come in. Well, this is the ultimate come in. You have the opportunity to have the closest intimacy with God in that holy of holies. That's where we all need to be headed, people. Get close with God. Because when you do, then you, God turns it around. Because you become the temple. You become a little tabernacle. The presence of God resides in you as a believer. And you, and He reverses it again, because instead of saying go out because of your sin, He tells His little temples, go out. But it's so you can invite others to come in. So let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time. Thank You for Your efforts, and the way You have overcome our sins, and we have broken the covenant so many times, and yet You have been faithful, and You have called us back, and we don't even know our sin, Father, and don't show too much of it to us at once, or it'll kill us. But Father, help us to trust in You and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, so that we can go about in joy and live our lives pleasing to You in perfect and good fellowship with You, Lord. We pray that.